Today on The Winning Walk with author and pastor Dr. Ed Young.
We are to be patient like a farmer. You plant the seed, the early rain, you wait for the second rain. You have to go through the process before the crop is produced. You have to trust in God, trust in the soil, trust in the process. You have to wait and wait and wait and wait. And this is what James is saying. We, in the midst of suffering and problems and challenges, just learn to be patient because we know what? God is doing something with us.
What does it mean to practice patience? And what's more, why should you? Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. I'm Wayne Shepherd. You know, patience isn't something we'd like to think about, especially when it comes to enduring hard times. But did you know there are some things you'll only learn as a result of practicing patience? It's true. And Dr. Young will show what some of those things are in today's message. So stay with us. The Winning Walk is coming up right after this brief station break. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before we start our message from Dr. Young, I want to tell you about a gift we'd like to send you today through Friday. It's the complete CD or DVD set of the message series you're hearing this week called Walking the Walk. And it's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help The Winning Walk end the year on target financially. So give us a call and request a copy of the series. 1-800-350-WALK. Again, 1-800-350-9255. And remember, this offer will expire on Friday, so please call soon. 1-800-350-9255. Now, let's get started with Dr. Young's message. It's titled, Hang in There.
That's our theme. Uncommon sense. Supernatural sense. And that is what we've dealt with as we've looked at the very fabulous, practical book of Job. Do you remember where we began in our study of Job? We talked about suffering, tough times. In times of suffering, it's difficult to know which way to go. We need uncommon sense. In the smooth affairs of every day, we're caught up in the routine of life. We just put it neutral, but let us bottom out. Let our teenage daughter get pregnant. Let the head of the family lose their job. Let someone not get admitted to the university they would sure would accept them. Let some fatal diagnosis be pronounced upon you or me. When trouble comes, what do we do? We began talking about that right in James chapter 1. Remember? Verse 2, James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, trouble, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete. That's the word mature, perfect and complete. Lacking in nothing. So we began with suffering, and the prescription then was patience because God is up to something. And now we come to the last chapter of James, and he picks up the theme yet again in our scripture, verse 7 through verse 12. He's talking about suffering again, because at this moment in history, the Christians were being kicked around like a volleyball. I heard someone on television a few nights ago talk about we need a Christian anti-defamation league. Let me tell you something. Whatever trials and rejections and persecution we go through today is nothing compared to the first century. They were literally being kicked all over the place by religious and political and military authorities. And James tells you and tells me, as he did to the church in the first century. Remember, this is the first book written in the New Testament. How we are to respond. He says, count it all joy. And then in the first verse, verse 7, he says, therefore, be patient, brethren, waiting until the coming of the Lord. Let's prepare for the teaching of the word. Lord, sometimes I conduct myself as one of the most impatient individuals in the world. And I pass it off because I say I want to get things done. I'm aggressive. But Lord, so many times it's just a drive and an ego that pushes and pushes. And Father, I'm not alone in this. We pride ourselves, many of us. We even boast about how we get things done in a hurry because we are so in the 21st century. Very impatient. Lord, deal with me today. Deal with us today. And let me get out of the way so that thy truth might be heard. And supernaturally, may we take another step toward maturity. We walked in one way, may we walk out another way. Walking closer to your way of living. Speak, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first three verses of our study, we're going to look at 7 through 12. I was going to look at 7 through 11, but I added 12, 7-11. So I added the 12th verse. The first three verses, though, three times, the second coming is mentioned. Look at it. Verse 7, until the coming of the Lord. And then verse 8, for the coming of the Lord is near. Verse 9, the judge is standing right at the door. We know as Christians that a day will come when God will bring down the curtain of history and Jesus Christ will return to this earth, and here he will rule and he will reign. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And then all of those who are in Christ will live forever and forever and forever. For he shall reign forever, forever, and forever. And we say, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, I want you to notice something. In history, people generally do not talk much about the coming of Christ. But because the Christians were suffering so much persecution in the first century, James brought them back to this theme. And we see this theme throughout the New Testament. If you were to guess how many references there are in the New Testament to the second coming, most would miss the number. There are over 300 references to the coming again of Christ in the New Testament. In other words, one out of every 13 verses in the New Testament speaks about that wonderful moment when Christ will return to this earth. One out of every 13. So it's a very, very important doctrine that we need to understand. But a lot of us have spent way too much time wondering about the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, want to know exactly the alignment of the nations of the earth. We want to know when and how and where. And we spend a lot of times on the biblical details and we miss the main fact of this wonderful promise of God. He will come. And we are to live in an aroma of expectation, far as Titus tells us in 2:13, that blessed hope. And when suffering and tough times come, we shout out, come, Lord Jesus, come. And James, I have a feeling, was present there in the apostolic band in the book of Acts. You remember that when Jesus ascended into heaven, resurrected, 40 days, 13 appearances. When he ascended there on the Mount of Olives, this is what an angel said. James must have been in that audience. Verse 11, Acts chapter 1. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go.
You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and in just a moment we'll continue our study. Are you looking for answers to tough questions? Perhaps you're facing a difficult decision and want to discern God's will for your life. I encourage you to visit our website to find resources that will help. Go to winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Now here's a look at the teaching that's just ahead.
When we have great expectations and we're on top of life, we don't pray, Lord Jesus, come. But in the middle of suffering and sorrow and sickness, we pray, Jesus, come.
That's next from Dr. Ed Young when The Winning Walk returns after this break. Welcome back. You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. As I mentioned earlier, we want to send you a special gift today. It's available through Friday. It's a series from Dr. Young called Walking the Walk. You're hearing part of it today, and it's our gift to thank you for your year-end gift to The Winning Walk. So give us a call with your gift and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. Mention the series Walking the Walk when you call toll-free 1-800-350-9255. And now Dr. Young continues his message, Hang in There.
James saw the cloud of Shekinah glory fall on Jesus and saw him ascend into heaven. And two angels said, I don't know if they were talking in unison or not, but dramatically they said, He will return again. As you have seen him go up, so he will return. And it is in that moment of expectation that the early church lived. But when great times are there, health, fun, trips, hedonistic activity, we don't say, Lord Jesus, come. When we have great expectations and we're on top of life, we don't pray, Lord Jesus, come. But in the middle of suffering and sorrow and sickness, we pray, Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. Bring down the curtain of history. I don't want to die. I don't want to go through any more of this. I have a friend of mine that's connected with a home in Wisconsin. It's called the Shepherd's Home. And in this home, they take care of special children. But many of these special children have clear minds, and they are taught the principles of Christ and biblical doctrine. And many of them are Down syndrome children. And the manager of the home said to my friend, you know, we have a tough time keeping our windows clean. I said, why is that? So that the windows are dirty. They're dirty and smudged every day. They said, why is that? I said, because so many of our Down syndrome children, they spend hours a day with their hands and their noses and their faces on the window, expecting the coming of Jesus Christ so that they will go home and be made whole. The expectation and suffering. And this is what James is saying in this passage. Actually, this presentation is very unorthodox. I have only 2 points. Don't applaud. And the first point simply is this. We are to suffer with patience. We are to be patient sufferers. And we are to endure. So that's it. We're to be patient, the first part of our study, and we are to endure. What does the word patient mean? It means to stand when you want to run. That's one part. It comes from 2 Greek words. The first word means long. It means time. It means distance. The second word we get patience from, it means fire or agony or pressure. So we get the idea we are to be patient. We are to be long-tempered. We're not to be short-tempered. We're to have long fuses, not short fuses. That's the word patient. And patient is usually referred to in the area of people. We are to be patient with God, as thank goodness God is patient with us, right? So it's patient toward living, animate beings. It's patient toward people. And we talk about endurance. It has to do with situations, with circumstances. We are to exercise endurance. So the 2 points here, we are to practice patience, and we are to practice endurance. In light of the soon coming of Christ, you say, well, he hasn't come. They thought his coming was imminent. Let me tell you, remember what the Bible says? A day in the sight of you and me is, what, nothing? 1,000 years is long, but 1,000 years from eternity's perspective is just like a day. And Jesus is tarrying. He is not returning to this earth. By the way, that's on the Father's schedule. Jesus said he didn't know the time. The Father God will make that decision. And he is tarrying, Peter tells us, so that more might come to know Christ. You say, now, wait a minute. This is the first century. We're in the 21st century. What about all this time that's transpired and some have born and died outside of Christ? You see, the hope is that someone in a family will profess faith in Christ and begin to understand this book and mature in the walk with Christ. And many, one who comes, the whole family is changed. That's what he's waiting for. A new generation comes into being. It just breeds down from father to mother to son or daughter, and on it goes. I've seen that many times in my life. Here is a godless, secular family, and a child comes to faith. And certainly dad shows up and sits in the balcony or the back row or up front, and he begins to understand, and the mom understands, and the other children, and there is the whole direction of a family is turned radically around. That is why the Father God is tarrying, bringing down the curtain of history. You get it? In suffering, we cry out for that blessed hope. By the way, the word hope there, it's not like our word. You know, I hope that tomorrow it will not rain, or I hope tomorrow that this will happen. That's not how the word hope is employed in the Bible. The word hope in the Bible, remember? It is like saying, I hope the sun comes up in the morning. Unless history ends, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to shock anybody, the sun will come up in the morning. That's right. And that's, we talk about the blessed hope of the coming of Christ. It is realized eschatology. It is the sense that we are confident of this event, and we want it to hurry up. We want it to be speeded up. That is the blessed hope that we're talking about. So we start off with patience. Look at it in James chapter number 5 in our study. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and the late rains. James says we're to be patient like the farmer. Now, farming in Israel is different. They would have an early rain and a late rain. The early rain would be like in October or maybe November. The late rain would be in March or April. And the early rain would come and they would break up the soil and plow and plant the seed. Then the rain would come and begin the germinating process. And then it would go through the winter months until that was March or April, and a second rain would come and it would blow up the seed and they could be assured of a harvest.
Hang in there. That's the message today from Dr. Ed Young and The Winning Walk. He'll continue in a moment. Remember, you can request the 7-message series, Walking the Walk, on CD or DVD when you call us. In this dynamic series from the book of James, Dr. Young reveals how to live a Christian life that works, one where you have a sense of direction and purpose. So give us a call to request your year-end gift and then ask for your copy of Walking the Walk. Call 1-800-350-WALK. And call soon. This special offer does expire on Friday. 1-800-350-9255. Well, after this short break, Dr. Young will continue his study right here on The Winning Walk. We're back with Dr. Ed Young and The Winning Walk. For helpful resources, visit us online at winningwalk.org. You'll find CDs, DVDs, and other materials to help you grow in your faith. Our website again is winningwalk.org. Now, let's continue with our message titled, Hang in There. Here again is Dr. Young.
How many people here have some kind of, you've planted gardens or you have agricultural backgrounds and farming? Lift your hand. Would you, anybody here? How many? Oh, we got a lot of green thumb folks around here. And many people think that James was a farmer. James, remember the half-brother of Jesus? Jesus was a carpenter like his dad. You can be sure some of their children became fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. James evidently was a farmer because all the way through the book you see references to farming. And he says, we are to be patient like a farmer. You plant the seed, the early rain, you wait for the second rain. You have to go through the process before the crop is produced. And it takes patience. Somebody who is impatient will never be a good farmer. You have to trust in God, trust in the soil, trust in the process. You have to wait and wait and wait and wait. And this is what James is saying. We, in the midst of suffering and problems and challenges, just learn to be patient, because we know what? God is doing something with us. Be patient like a farmer. And then look at the next thing. He says, we're to be patient with our hearts. Look at verse 8. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. We're to be patient with our hearts. We are to strengthen our hearts. It may say we are to set our hearts like a flint. That's the same word. Remember when Jesus was starting up to Jerusalem, they were trying to dissuade him. And it said he set his mind, his eyes, like a flint to go to Jerusalem. Patience strengthens our hearts. Patience makes us strong. And in suffering, we have to exercise patience, so we'll be stronger individuals. Unless you and I have gone through some of the tough times we've gone through, we wouldn't be the man or the woman or the young person we are today. God is doing it. When tough time comes, you need to join the 50-20 club. That's a good club to belong to. I hope you're a member of the 50-20 club. I've never been invited. Sure you have. 50-20. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. It's Joseph. After his brothers had put him through all that, there was his brothers at his mercy, and they were afraid he would kill them. He says, look, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Join the 50-20 club. When tough times come, join, sign up, 50-20. The important thing is not that you and I are 20-20, it's we're 50-20. We know God is doing something in tough times. He's teaching us something, and if we don't learn it, he'll have to teach us in different ways over and over and over again. You see, God's building something in us.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and we'd like to send you a copy of this series you're enjoying on The Winning Walk this week. It's a 7-CD collection of messages from the book of James called Walking the Walk. This new series is our gift to thank you for your year-end donation, so call now and request a copy. Our number is 1-800-350-WALK. And remember, this special gift is only available through Christmas Day, so be sure to call and request it now. 1-800-350-9255. For Dr. Ed Young and the Winning Walk team, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be right here again Wednesday to hear part two of Dr. Young's message, Hang in There. Join us then, right here on The Winning Walk.